say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them from before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind. In Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to thy faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve thee with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips.
first lesson is from the prophecy of Isaiah, beginning at chapter 43, verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honour me, the jackals and the ostriches, for which I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings, or honoured me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I alone am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Accuse me. Let us go to trial. Set forth your case so that you may be proved right. Your first ancestor sinned, and your mediators rebelled against me. Therefore I profaned the princes of the sanctuary. I delivered Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. But now hear, O Jacob my servant, Israel whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you in the womb and will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob my servant, Jeshurun whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring. They shall spring up like a green tamarisk, like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will be called by the name of Jacob. Yet another will write on the hand, the Lord's, and adopt the name of Israel. Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you. The second lesson is from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 30 to the end of the chapter. Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from humans, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say?" Here endeth the second lesson. Thank you.
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
Defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. This evening's choir anthem, Teach Me, O Lord, was written by Thomas Attwood, who was born in London in 1765, and who, at the age of 9, became a chorister in the Chapel Royal, where he received music training in music. In 1783, he was sent to study in Naples, and after 2 years there, he moved to Vienna, where he became a favourite pupil of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Attwood went on to become organist of St Paul's Cathedral in London and was also appointed composer of the Chapel Royal. As well as Teach Me, O Lord, he wrote a number of other church anthems, including Turn Thy Face from My Sins and Come, Holy Ghost, Our Souls Inspire. Thomas Attwood died in 1836, and his funeral took place at St Paul's Cathedral. He is buried in the cathedral's crypt under the organ. There is a link between Thomas Attwood and the composer, Thomas Attwood Walmsley, who wrote the psalm chant which was sung earlier in this service. Thomas Attwood was Thomas Attwood Walmsley's godfather. Teach me, O Lord. May I speak to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Words from tonight's psalm. The author, Alex Haley, has a picture in his office of a turtle sat on top of a fence post. When asked, "Why do you have this picture on your wall?" he replied, "It reminds me that sometimes I am that turtle. He didn't get there by himself. And however good I think I am, I need help too." The truth is, we all need help at times in our life. That's life. And however much we might like to convince ourselves that we can go it alone, or we're sorted or switched on to what life might throw at us, we need help. Every day someone needs us, or we need them. We will all have our own people who we turn to in times of trial, those on whom we can depend. But I think we really ought to look further than that. Experience teaches us that there's no safety plan, no insurance policy, no security system that can keep us all absolutely safe in this life. However hard we try to be immune, things can go wrong. Psalm 121 is about trusting in God's providential care, requesting his help and trusting that it will come. Other areas of scripture, especially the Gospels, teach us that God helps those who seek his help. But this psalm I've carried this week, and this is worth unpacking a little. In the Jewish tradition, this psalm is said daily and often, and it is found on the doorposts of Jewish homes, inside a cylinder which is attached to the doorframe. But why is it so popular and so loved? Psalm 121 teaches us three big truths about God's help and his care for us, as if we need reminding. And I just want to offer these thoughts as we begin a new week, a new month, and a new season of Creationtide this September. So the psalm says, the Creator is our helper, God is our protector, and the Lord will keep us from all harm. So first of all, the Creator is our helper. So if you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. These beautiful verses of scripture are familiar and I think well used at funeral services, at a time when people are most vulnerable. And they tell us several things about God and the help that he provides. I wonder if any of us remember learning to walk. I don't. But as soon as a toddler becomes mobile, there are many dangers to navigate, one of which is the staircase. Imagine a child gazing upwards and thinking, one day I will conquer those. The opening verse of this psalm talks of mountains rather than stairs, but the imagery is the same. We are encouraged to look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. From being a small child, the Lake District has been a favourite place of mine, and in my younger days, I probably would have been able to climb those bigger mountains. Sadly, not now. That said, the mountains will be there long after I'm not, great in size, long-lasting and unchanging. The creation reflects the Creator. And so God, who made the mountains, is greater in power and strength. The hills are also upward in direction. Often our need for help is determined by our body language. We can look down as a sign of being defeated. According to the psalmist, that's the wrong direction. Here is a reminder that we are to look up. You must look beyond the mountains to the God who created them, because God is higher than all. Our Eucharistic prayer this morning invited us to lift our hearts to the Lord. In verse 1, the psalmist asks, where does my help come from? And in verse 2, we get the answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our need and our prayers in the 21st century are no different to those who lived in the Old Testament times. Our help comes from the same God, the maker of heaven and earth. So that's the first truth. The Creator is our helper. The second truth is this, that God of Israel is our protector. In verses 3 and 6 we read, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. These verses teach us that God is not only the creator of the world, but the protector of all that is in it. There is a wonderful line used in our Compline service that we ask that God will hide us under the shadow of his wing. Another wonderful line used is, as a mother tenderly gathers her children. All of these point to God, the Creator, as our protector, the one who has our back and our front. Finally, the Lord will keep us from all harm. Verses 1 to 6, we are all in the present tense, describing what God does for us. And now at the end, verses 7 to 8, are the promises for the future, telling us what God will do for us. These verses of the psalm move us from giving examples to one overriding principle. The Lord will keep us from all harm. On this journey of faith to God, Psalm 121 is a wonderful song for the journey. The maker of heaven and earth watches over every aspect of our life. Even when the worst things happen, illness, loss, death, changes in our lives that we cannot control, all these things take place under God's providential care. So take comfort in this psalm. The psalm invites us to trust in God and to look for him in all the details of our life, knowing that he cares for us, he will provide for us, and he is there. So remember the turtle on the fence post as you carry this psalm this week. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. We hold before God this night our prayers and thanksgivings for the worldwide Anglican Church, for all its bishops, clergy, and people. We pray to God, the Father of all creation, who gives us all that we have, blesses us with good gifts and good people, and entrusts us to use our gifts wisely for the benefit of all creation. We give thanks for all that we have and all those who we share it with, our family, friends, and neighbours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold before God the Church across the world, for all our sisters and brothers in Christ gathered today in tiny churches or majestic cathedrals. We give thanks for being able to worship in freedom, to declare the gospel and to share God's love with those we meet. We remember before God those who cannot or do not meet to worship because of fear of others' prejudice. Jesus sent the 12 out to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven was near. May we who worship now through the power of the Spirit feel the kingdom close at hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask God, the bringer of peace, to instill peace in the hearts of those who have an agenda of violence, hatred, or war. Remembering especially the people of the Ukraine and the innocent people of Russia. We pray for those in the most troubled parts of the world, for all its leaders and people. We pray for peace to rule in the hearts of the people, for justice and fairness for all, and for a world where there is no division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, holding now before God those who have asked for our prayers, and those whom we carry on our hearts this evening. We ask that God will ease their worries, calm their souls, and give peace to their hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the Father's house there are many rooms, each one a place prepared for those whose earthly life has ended. We remember before God those who have died in the faith of Christ, and all those whose faith was known only to you, Lord. We pray especially this evening for Beryl, who will be laid to rest tomorrow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, let us not stray from you who are the way. nor distrust you who are the truth, nor rest in any other but you who are the life. Teach us by your Holy Spirit what to believe, what to do and what to say, and in whom we take our rest. We ask this for your name's sake, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Say together the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.